Amen. Thank you so much. Listen, we're ready to get into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4. If you have the outline of today's sermon, it's on the back of that outline. You can just kind of turn if you want to turn your Bibles. Matthew chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 11. We'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Maybe depending on what version you have, it may be slightly different from your version, but the message, we pray, will be the same.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give command, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms, the world, and their glory, and said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. And behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. We've been blessed through our engagement with God's word. I want to talk this morning, as you see on the outline, from the subject, talking back to temptation. Talking back to temptation. Now I know most of you who grew up, especially those of you who grew up in the same generation that I grew up in, were taught not to talk back.
Right.
To your parents. And that was a good principle, because there's something, especially when you're a smaller child, that regardless of how your parents would try to answer you, you still couldn't understand the answer. So sometimes you just need to, parents have to be like Nike and say, "Just do it." Because you're not going to understand our reason for you doing it, because you don't have the experience yet to understand. So just do it. So we, last time we were talking, especially when parents and teachers and adults, you know, not to talk back, just to listen. But today I want to say, when it comes to engaging the enemy, you got to talk back.
Yes, sir.
Because if you don't talk back, you're going to be taken back.
Amen.
You got to talk.
Amen.
Amen. You either talk back to him, or you're going to get taken back by him and lose often some of the progress that you made. When you engage the enemy in temptation. Really, many, hope you still have your Bibles open, because really I need you to look back into chapter 3. You see that I'm open? Because it's a little bit, I told you last week that these verses in chapters 1 in the Bible originally. Later on, man came and put them in so we can find things. But sometimes that division will cause you to miss something. Just look back at verse 16. Verse 16. Verse 16 said, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I think we need to understand that temptation is, being tempted is not a sign of your spiritual health.
Amen.
Just because you're tempted, it doesn't mean that you are spiritually unhealthy. Because look at Jesus. Jesus, the Spirit had came on him. Ain't that what we just read? The Father said, this is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with what he said. And then the Holy Spirit had led, he was being led by the Spirit.
Yes,
sir. God said, I'm pleased with him. He's being led by the Spirit. The Spirit is upon him. And even in this spiritual, and with this kind of spiritual health, he's tempted. Temptation comes upon all believers, regardless of their spiritual healthiness, their spiritual growth, or where they are spiritual. It's not a factor. Your spiritual health is not affected in whether you are tempted or not. But it is, your spiritual health is a factor in whether you can face that temptation and come out victorious. You need to be spirit-led if you're going to get the victory. You need to be walking in a way that pleases God. You need to be, have anointing and walking in your calling. All those things will help you to have victory over your temptation. But everybody is tempted.
Yes, sir.
Being tempted is not a sin. It's not a sin until, amen, you allow that temptation to draw you into some sinful behavior, thoughts or attitudes. Now, so temptation attacks us, I'm going to say, with a three-pronged attack. First, temptation will question who you are, or will question your identity. It'll make you question who you are. Now, we already got God's truth about who Jesus was.
Uh-huh.
He says, God says, Jesus, you are my beloved Son.
Yes, sir.
In whom I'm well pleased. That's what God said. That's God's word. The tempter comes in and says, if. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Then God didn't say it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
God didn't say it. That's his beloved Son.
Right.
Whom he well pleased.
Right.
And then the tempter comes and says, if you be,
uh-huh.
the Son of God. Oh, y'all missed it. Wait, let me go back. And the tempter came, verse 3, said to him, if you are the Son of God, because Jesus, he had been fasting 40 days, 40 nights, and the tempter sees that he's a little hungry. And he said, if you are the Son of God, since you're hungry, command these loaves of bread, or command these stones to become loaves of bread, or some of your Bible that says bread. If you are the Son of God. He'll always, one of his prompts is he attacks and questions your identity in Christ.
Yes.
Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, he can get you to jump over some hoops that you won't really have to jump over.
Right.
Secondly, he gets us to act independently of God. Let me show what I mean by this in this particular case. When Christ came from glory to earth, it's what we call his humiliation. He was humble. He came from the glories of heaven to earth. When he did that, as a baby, you know, he came and was born as a baby. Don't think that when he was a baby, because you know he's God. He's God and he's man. He's both fully God and fully man. But now think about it. God is omniscient, meaning he knows everything. So if Jesus is both God and man, don't think that when he was a baby, he knew everything. Listen. I mean, he wasn't like, say, Mary, can I get that bottle over there? You know, Mary, I'm a little hungry, Mom. And then he got up and walked around. Because he knew. He's omniscient. He's God and man. So, did he just come out talking? Because he's both God and man. But then the humiliation, which is explained in Philippians chapter 2, it said what happened was that Christ submitted the use of his deity, that means his godness, to the Father. So he could only use his, he said, Father, I'm going to go down here because I got to be a man. I'm only going to use my divine attributes and my deity as you say. So when he was in the cradle, in the manger, God did not say to Jesus, use your omniscience, use your all-knowing. So since God did not say that to him, when he was a baby, he had to grow in knowledge like any other baby.
Right.
He had to learn to walk. Learn to talk. Be fed. Just like anybody. Even though he was God, but the Father did not allow him to use his omniscience. Okay. Y'all with me so far? That was throughout his life. He said, okay, Father, when do you want me to use it? Or when the Father got ready, he said, okay, I'll let you use a little bit of it now. When he's out there, you remember him on being on the ship? And there was in a storm in the ship, and the ship was moving, and he was sleeping, and went out, woke him up, said, Master, carry God, now that we perish. And he got up, and at that time, God said, all right, you can use it now. Uh-huh. And he spoke to the winds and the waves, and they, peace.
Yes, sir.
But he never used it unless it was the Father's will.
Uh-huh.
In this path, at this first temptation, Satan is saying, Jesus, you hungry.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He said, nobody follow me. He said, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus could not command a stone to be made bread unless it was what? Y'all getting it. I know I had some good Bible students here. So he couldn't just do it on his own. Right. Satan always tried to tempt us to act independently of God's will. Uh-huh. You know what God's will is for your life. He'll say, come on outside this will. Make up your own mind. You know what the Bible teaches, which is God's will. But you do what you want to do. Okay. He always gets you to act independently. Do stuff on your own rather than do it out of the being God to me. Uh-huh. We've been so far. This, lastly, the third prong is do it without intentionality. Intentionality. That means intentionality has to do with purpose. God got a purpose. God got a plan. God got a purpose. God got a plan for your life. God got a purpose and a plan for your life. He got something he wants you to do, something he's called you to do. Jesus tries to, the tempter tries to get you to go outside of that plane. Uh-huh. Don't worry about that plane. This is so much better for you. So you begin to live outside of God's plane. Or to live with that intentionality. Y'all with me so far? Let me see if I can make it a little bit clearer to me. And it says in B, he will try, let me go back. A said, are you number one? Are you number one? First temptation. He will say, now, since you don't know who you are, you don't know who you are and your identity, so he says, if. Like Jesus didn't know who he was. And if you don't know what if you don't know who you are, he's gifts to work. Right. He said, if you command it, hey, you get son of God, then you ought to be able to perform a certain way.
Right.
If you belong to God and you somebody to God, amen. The reason why you'll be loved, beloved, if you're gonna be beloved, you got to perform a certain way. Listen to this. I think I missed that. Sometimes I would miss it because I said it so quick. If you perform a certain way, you will be beloved. That's what Satan wants you to think. If you do certain things, if your performance is good, if you're an A student as a believer, then you get God's love. If you're a student in morality or ethics, you get God's love. That's basically what he's saying. If you do that, if you're a good enough choir member, usher, God's going to love you. But wait a minute. Didn't God already say, before Jesus did anything, that you are my beloved son? God already said you already love.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But Satan will say, if you're going to be loved, you got to earn it. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Y'all with me so far? Because he's trying to check your identity. Hey, if you want to really be loved, you got to earn it. So we spend all of our life trying to be good enough for God to love. And God says, I love you already, so I want to make you good enough. We try to be good enough for him to love us, and he says, I love you already. That's why I want to make you good.
Yes, sir.
If you give me a chance, you put your trust in me, put your faith in me, I'll make you good. You can't be good enough to earn my love because I love you already. If you give me a chance and put your faith in me, I'll make you good.
Yes, sir.
So that was attacked at the identity in the first temptation. Then he says, he basically is saying, is you need to take the bread without the meat. Wait a minute, Pastor. I don't see none in that. where you getting meat from? I don't see no meat nowhere in that. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the son of God, command these stones to become bread. Where you get that meat from, Pastor? If you look now, or don't look now, in I gave you a scripture right there. John 4:34. Don't turn to that. Just you already got it, you can look at it when you get home. You turn, you may not make it back in time. If you think you make it back in time, it's okay. You can give it a try. This is when he's talking to the woman at the well. Now you remember when he's talking to the woman at the well, they were going to get food. Jesus said was the one that sent the boys on. To the other side, y'all go on and get the meat. Right. Y'all go on and get groceries. I got something I need to tend to. And Jesus talked to the woman, you know, told her about herself, made her eyes, worked with her a little while, and witnessed to her and told her some things, and she realized that he was the Christ, and she went in the city to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. Now the disciples came back. You know, because they thought he was hungry, they got back with the groceries. Mm-hmm. And then they said, hey, Jesus, we're back with the groceries. And Jesus said, my meat, y'all with me?
Come on.
My meat is to do God's will. Yeah. Satan said, hey, just take the bread. Right. Feed your appetite.
Right.
Don't worry about God's will.
Yes, sir.
This is the key. Satan says, be concerned about your appetite more than your assignment.
Wow. Yeah. Amen.
God got an assignment for it. He has an assignment for each of us. What Satan does is says, hey, I know God got an assignment, but don't forget about your appetite. But sometimes he'll use your appetite to get you away from your assignment.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
He knows it. He don't want you. The enemy does not want you to fulfill your assignment. So how does he get you to leave your assignment? He uses your appetite to get you away from your assignment.
Yes, sir.
Y'all remember what I told y'all last Sunday evening when we were talking about Samson?
Yes.
Samson had an assignment.
Yes, sir.
He was to be a deliverer of Israel from the enemies. But God used Samson's appetite for the Philistine women to pull him away from his
assignment.
Whatever your appetite is, God will use your appetite to pull you away from your son.
Satan, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Satan will use your appetite. The enemy will use your appetite to pull you away from. But you know, when you in your assignment, sometimes you don't have an appetite. Because Jesus, when he got talking to the woman at the well, he wasn't even home.
Right.
I tell you, sometimes when I come here on Sunday morning, or sometimes when I'm at home studying, trying to pray, sometimes I don't realize I haven't ate anything until late at night. Because when you're in your assignment, that's how you tell where your gifting is. Because when you're working in your gifting, sometimes you forget all about food.
Amen.
And then you're like, wait a minute. I need to eat something because I haven't eaten all day. But Satan will use your appetite. God has had so many great people, great ministers, great pastors, great business leaders, great people in all arenas who he had assigned to do great things for him, but because of their appetite for the illegitimate a lot of times,
amen,
they got pulled away
from their assignment. Think about it. And that's what you're trying to do. Jesus, command these stones to be made bread. Then you, we'll all know you really are his beloved son. Feed your appetite. A lot of times when you feed your temporary appetite, it takes you away from God's eternal plan. Important, 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 important. Bread without meat. That's what he says. Then, so Jesus said, wait a minute. Jesus said, no, that's not what happened. Because man shall not live by their appetite. You can spread that, you can spread that bread alone out. What he meant, bread alone. But man shall not live just by their temporary appetite, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He's going, the way you really have a good, a great life is following God's assignment in your life. What God has told you to do. But he told you to do as a husband, as a wife, as an employer. What he told you to do as a child or a parent. What he told you to do in whatever facet of life he told you to do it is by carrying out that assignment.
Yes.
That you truly experience life. Finding your purpose. Fulfilling that purpose. So often, our appetites take us away from our purposes. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil said, okay, I see where you're going with this, Jesus. So I see you into the word of God.
Uh-huh.
So, hey, let's talk about the word of God then, Jesus. Then in verse 5, the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you're the son of God, he questioned him again. God already said, this is my... You're my son who I'm well pleased. My beloved son. He come back with this if thing. Question identity again. This time, I'm going to get to that yet. The devil took him up, holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hand, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. He's at the pinnacle of the temple. The enemy gives him a vision. He's at the pinnacle and says, get at the top of the temple. In the temple on the hill, or the roof on the hill, and just throw yourself down.
Uh-huh.
Just jump. Because the Bible says, when you do that, God's going to send angels, and they're going to catch you. And that's up from Psalm 91, I think I got the verses on there. That's what he said. What would happen if he jumped off the temple and angels came? You know, I'll forget the temple. Angels came and rescued him in the temple. Wow. Look how great he is, and they would have followed him because of the great feat that he did.
All right.
He'd have been popular,
yes,
because of the great feat that he did.
Right.
So he said, hey, if you throw yourself on top of that temple and a man come down, they see you come and get you, that great feat back to home, we want to follow him because he got greatness in him. He'll be popular.
Yes.
If you're going to be beloved, you got to be, if you're his son, you're going to be his beloved son. They come and call you Papa. Because sometimes we feel like we won't feel like beloved children of God if we're popular because we're judging who we are by our popularity.
Uh-huh.
If we don't have a lot of friends, Facebook, friends, followers, all those type of things.
Yeah.
I ain't, you feel kind of bad. But hey, everybody else got, you know,
thousand, 10,000, million. I got my mama. You can always depend on your mama, baby. I got my mama, but I think I'm going to cut her off because she ain't my baby. And I got a couple more friends on there. And you feel like, hey, you feel like you're less than.
Yes.
Because you're not popular. You don't feel beloved of God. You don't feel like a child of God. You don't feel that special. And Satan said, the only way you can make it feel that special is you got to be popular. So Jesus, you go and give off the pinnacle of the two. On your way down, the angel's going to rescue you. And you're going to be popular with all the people. But now, this is my next point here. That's the way he's going to deal with that identity question. Then he says, but you have to look at this. In order to do this, you got to accept the adversary's interpretation over authorial intent. What are you talking about? What is all that, Pastor? I don't mean nothing. The adversary, that's the devil. The devil interpreted, he got this scripture from Psalms 91. This is the interpretation of this scripture. He's saying, you know what the scripture saying, Jesus, if you jump off that temple, man, he's going to come down and get you because you got something. You just said you was on something. And he tried to get confused about that identity. He said they'd come rescue you. That was his interpretation. But now, this is for my teachers and my preachers. You're all in any passage. Not only do you have to look at it in context, I always say read the stuff around you. You'll get the right meaning. Read the stuff around you. Because if you take it out of the context, you get the color. Left. But not only do you have to read the context, but you also got to ascertain the author's intent.
Yes, sir.
What was the author trying to say when the author wrote it? Because you got to build your lesson or your sermon around what the author was trying to say when the author wrote it.
Yes. Yes.
If you don't know what the author is trying to say, and you just put in there what you're trying to say, then you're not preaching God's word, you're preaching it. Satan put in what he wanted to say.
Right.
He wanted to say, Jesus, if you jump off that ship, the man will come down and they're going to rescue you. Everybody will say, I'll break you off and you're going to be popular.
Uh-huh.
But when you read Psalms 91, the author's intent was to say that we have a God that's greater than anything you're going to face.
Yes.
And he can keep you. When you're living a righteous life and carrying out his will, when you read this is what you get, it was in the text. When you're living righteously and you're carrying out his assignment, there's nothing the enemy can do to keep you from carrying out that assignment.
Yes.
Amen. He will protect you. So you'll be able to carry out that assignment.
Uh-huh.
The devil ain't said nothing about assignment. He always leave assignment out.
Right.
Amen. He just said, hey, you might have to be in your assignment. Mm-hmm. You can, hey, that's like that, you know, you can drive off this bridge. Because some man wants to take care of you.
Right.
He ain't told you to drive. That's not your. That's not your assignment, and not driving off no bridge.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes folks will do dangerous stuff and they expect God to rescue them.
Uh-huh.
Stuff that God ain't got nothing. If God ain't got nothing to do with it, you doing something that God ain't got nothing to do with, you on your own.
Amen.
He may have mercy and help you out. Uh-huh. But he said, now if you're doing what I told you to do, then I'm going to give you what you need to fulfill that assignment.
Yes.
Satan said, hey, Jesus, just go jump off. Because if you jump off that, you see he's going to send you angels. This is the key to it, y'all. This is the key. When the interpretation always makes God serve you. If you got the real interpretation, or you look at all authority of intent, it's always about you serving God.
Yes.
Y'all, y'all get it?
Yes.
If you look at a passage, and that passage says, put you in the sovereign seat, makes you God, and makes God your servant, you didn't interpret it wrong. Because
right.
When you interpret it right, God is God.
Right.
And you are servant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Satan said, Jesus, listen here. You put yourself, now Jesus is the only one that can really even be tempted by this because he was actually God. But remember, he can only use his deity when the Father, according to the Father's will.
Right.
So it wasn't the Father's will. He had, amen, he was just you. He was only kept using his humanity.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So God ain't told him to go jump off no temple. If the Father ain't told you to jump off no temple,
don't do it.
It's like a friend of mine. She wanted one of them Chrysler 300. She didn't have enough money to get no Chrysler 300. But she thought about that story on Jericho when they walked around the wall. So she was out there on that car lot. Walking around that 300. Right in the wall. She's trying to bring Christ. I'm trying to bring Christ. She was bringing Christ in if I walk around that 300. God didn't tell her to go get that 300. But she said, if I can walk around that 300, God going to bring the prize down. God ain't told you to go get no 300. Get what you can. Get a 200. Get that little bit of God. Amen. But this is because she interpreted, she messed with scripture. She wanted 300. And she was trying to get God to bless her with it. She didn't make the whole scripture up. Amen. You don't try to get God. Amen. Anytime you read a scripture where you're trying to get God to do what you want him to do, you don't read the scripture wrong. The scripture is about you doing what God wants you to do.
That's good.
And she didn't get that 300. I said, she's going to be walking around there for days. She said, oh, I got faith, though. But God, they told you, it's not God's will. I can see if you got faith. You want to have faith to do God's will. But not that faith to do your stuff.
Amen.
So then what says you say to jump off this thing. But listen to what Jesus answered. You can't cause you have to answer. Every time the enemy tells you and tempts you, you have to answer temptation. You cannot let temptation have the last word. You gotta talk back to it. Jesus talked back. Jesus said to him, again it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. You don't be testing God out. Presuming that God's going to do something for you that he said he's not going to do for you. I mean, he ain't said nothing about it. He said, oh God, if you can do this for me, then I know you're God. You got to talk back. Sometimes you got to talk out loud to your temptation.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to do that sin no more.
I see you.
I'm not going back. Can't go back to the place. Not going back, Satan.
Yes, sir.
See, because the last time you had me out there, yeah. I know who you are. Last time you got me out there on a limb, and then you saw the limb off. And then, who was it? I had to pray to God to save me. I know you. That's why I was broke, because I listened to you too long. I'm not going to do that no more. can try to tell you and nobody. You tell them what the Bible says. That you're chosen and beloved of God. And you're an adopted son or daughter who Christ loved so much he died for on the cross. You got to talk back to your temptation. Don't let temptation have the last word. Let temptation have God's word. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Don't let temptation have the last word. Let temptation have God's word.
Amen. Yeah,
yeah. Well, let's get to the last. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him the kings of the world in their glory. He said, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Listen here. Look, Jesus, I'm going to give you all these kingdoms. You can have it all if you'll fall down and worship me. Now, he didn't go back to that if thou be the Son of God. He didn't, that wasn't working for him. But he did kind of, you know, it's still kind of in there. Because, you know, you the Son of God. You God's favorite, you beloved of God,
right.
You ought to have some stuff.
Right.
Yeah. If you God's daughter, you ought to have that 300, girl. You ought to be able to walk out there on that lot, walk around that 300, they're going to lower the price because you. You God's daughter.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm gonna give you all these possessions. I'm gonna do everything gonna be yours. All you gotta do is fall down and worship. Worship the enemy. This one said, I think Jesus kind of got tired of them then. Say, be gone, say. He said, hey man, you need to get on about here. You need to make a move. But let me tell you before you go. It's because I can't let you have the last word.
Uh-huh.
See, the reason why you can't have, if you let him have the last word that he gave will linger in your mind.
All right.
Until you believe the last word. And if you believe the last word that the enemy said, then you will become your own enemy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, y'all didn't get that one. If you believe the last word he said to you was you're nobody. And you don't say nothing back to that.
Right.
You just let that lie there. Mm-hmm. That's in your mind. You go around feeling like a nobody.
It's true.
And then you allow people to treat you like a nobody.
Right.
Your attitude for yourself be like you're a nobody. You cannot let him have the last word. If you got something in your life, I had it, something you've been trying to let go, and he said, no, you will always be a drug addict.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you will always be an adult. No, you will always be broke. And you say, okay. Yeah. And you will say nothing back.
All right.
You just accept what he said? But it will be larger in your mind, and you will live out there as a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, sir.
Because you, not only that, because now you're telling yourself this, rather than saying, okay, I can break this thing, I can do it. I think God gonna bring me out. I'm waiting for God to bring. I'm coming out of this thing, I don't know how, but I'm gonna do everything. I'm gonna trust in God, and I know He's gonna bring me out. You fighting to get out. If you think you'll never get out of your life, you'll never get out of this world. I just want to be comfortable where I am. Just try to live there. I don't deserve no more. I'm always going to be where I am. That's what you see. You see some people and you're trying to help. They say, that's who I am. I've always been like that. You ever heard somebody say that? I've all, you, hey, You don't have to, just because you've always been like that, I'm trying to tell you, you have to stay like that. Because behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things pass away, all things have become new. You don't have to stay like you were. But God is deliverance business.
Yes, sir.
He's in the business of changing lives,
yes,
changing situations. He's in the resurrection business.
Yeah, right.
What a mess. I'm not giving up Jesus. I've been there for 3 days. I think I'm going to stay here. But when he heard Jesus, said, Lazarus, get up. He didn't argue with Jesus. He got on up. You don't have to stay in your grave. That's what I'm talking about to tell you. You don't have to stay in your dead situation. God can get you up. I don't care how long you've been down. How they said, hey, you know, the spirit will stay around 3 days. But now, if you don't get there in 3 days, Jesus, if you got there, they still, but now it's been 4 days. Lazarus been in the grave 4 days. 4 days, the spirit leaves. You can't get him up. But they didn't know about Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
After you've been 4 days, I don't care how long you've been doing what you've been doing, if you want to get out of what you're doing, I know somebody who can get you out of what you've been doing.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Man.
Don't let temptation have the last word.
Jesus.
Go worship me, I give you all this. Now the Bible already says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The word already says it's already. But what Satan is saying, Jesus, I know God's assignment is the cross. This is God's assignment for you. But listen here. I got an idea. If you worship me, I can give you the crown without the cross. You can have the world and won't have to die. You want down the crown? I can just give it to you. But God's assignment was the only way for Jesus to get the crown was to go to the cross.
Yes,
it's true.
Actually, he already had the crown.
Uh-huh.
But his assignment was the cross. Because if he would have got, if he didn't want to God, I'm coming on back to heaven, take a crown back, take his glory back, then we'd still been lost.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, more important to Jesus than getting the crown was the cross.
Yes, sir.
Satan's going to always try to make you skip the cross to get the crown. You see the boys out on folks selling dope. Because they don't want to work.
Right.
And what they want to grind, they want to car, they want to clothes. But they don't want to grind.
Right, amen.
I'm talking. You can have it all, but you got to be willing to grind for it.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Satan always gives you a plan. Get stuff without the grind.
Amen. Amen.
If you get married, marriage is hard work. Marriage is responsibility. Marriage is being there forever. So Satan says, hey, just live together and sleep together. And you can have the crown without the
work. Right.
You can get the good stuff without having to pay bills.
Right. Oh, watch it.
Without having to work through issues and problems.
Yeah.
You have somebody to sleep with any time you want. But you can only, you know, you don't have to be, as a man, you don't have to be responsible for your household. You did other pay her part of the bill.
Oh,
you know, you got two becoming one stuff. She keep her stuff, you keep.
Right.
I guess y'all don't want to hear that, but I. That's the same concept I'm trying to tell you. Satan will try to tempt you with.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, it's all right. It didn't work like that. It won't work for me because the Bible said that two be one. So two, you know, two can't become one account.
Uh-huh.
Right.
where we have interpreted that scripture. But now you want to be that. But I'm saying you ought to have some responsibility. You ought not be able to just walk off.
Amen.
When you get ready, you got the responsibility.
Amen.
Sometimes we want to skip over responsibility to get to the good stuff.
Yes,
Jesus, the cross is your assignment and your responsibility. When you fulfill your assignment and your responsibility, then crown.
Amen.
I give it to you. And Jesus said, let me go and finish. Be gone, Satan. You got to go. For it's written, I'll kind of let you talk a little bit. But now you're talking about worshiping you?
Come on.
Now you're messing with my worship. Is that right? That other stuff you're talking about. Now, I ain't going to let you mess with my worship. Because my worship is for God. Because you don't realize what he's done for me, what he brought me from. I can't let you mess up my worship. Whatever you do, the thing you can't have is my worship.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm going to worship God and him only am I going to worship.
Yeah.
Don't let the temptation have the last word. Because if you got the last word, don't stick in your mind. You're going to become your own enemy.
Yes, sir.
But you give him the last word. Don't you let temptation drop the mic on you. I wish I had temptation want to do the temptation. He'll tempt you and he'll like he'll done something.
Yeah.
He'll try to drop the mic. He tried to do that with Jesus. Jesus is Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. And then the enemy got in some folk, got in the crowd, and the crowd said, crucify him.
Yeah.
And they took him out on Friday evening and nailed him to an old rugged cross up on Golgotha. And the enemy said, crucify him. And then all the government officials said, crucify him.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
And you know the story. He hung there and died on Friday. And I can hear the devil in hell now just dropping the mic saying it's over. Ain't nothing else to be said. But I'm going to tell you, yes, he stayed there Friday, and he stayed there Friday night. He stayed there Saturday and Saturday night. But I come by this morning and tell you, Eddie, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand.
Yeah.
There's somebody unseen that has so much power. Yeah. This
The enemy comes to me saying, you ain't got the last word. You ain't got the last word. My God got the last word.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like the way he talks.
Amen.
Yeah. I like the way my God talks.
Because yeah, yeah.
He's the one that always say I'm the beloved. Yeah. He's the one that tell me that I'm loved by him.
Yeah.
I don't care if you love me, my God. I know he loves me. Because he loves me, he'll take care of me. He'll look out for me. Not because I demand it of him, but because he loves me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't let temptation have the last word. Well, if you do, you'll be sitting there.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, God, what am I going to do? Because the last word temptation has still in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, I don't even want to make it. You all down, depressed.
Yeah.
And God already got it worked out.
Amen.
God already got it. He just needs you to believe. He just needs you to walk into it. But your mind's so messed up because you didn't have it. You can't even walk into your deliverance.
Yeah.
You can't even walk into your breakthrough. Yeah. You can't even walk into your blessing because you still remember what he said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want to tell you, when you go home today, don't you now on, don't you ever let temptation have the last word in your life. You always have the last word.
Amen.
Talk back to him. Talk back to him. You know how it is. Some of y'all that have been in some discussions at home, and you just got to get the last word. If you want to people, this is a good time to get the last word. you been trying to get that last. This is a good time to have the last word when you're dealing with temptation. So it's gonna come now. Give us a selection. You hear? Listen right where you sit. If you lost and you don't know Christ, save you. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and give your life to Christ. While you're sitting there, though, the enemy might be saying, do that tomorrow. Maybe next Sunday. Wait a minute. Do that after prom. Because you know prom is coming up. I'll do that later on in your life. You young man, so you wild. I'll do that later on. Don't get saved now. Don't get your life to God now. Don't start living to God now. I'm trying to say, if you sit in your seat and the enemy tells you that, don't listen to the enemy. Don't let him have the last word. Today is your day. This morning is your morning. Pardon not your heart. Come to God. Hear him right now. Right now. Because I want to have, I want God to have. Come. Come with that money. Come with that pride. Come.
Yes.
All that comes to me, I want to know why I turn away. Won't you come and give your life?
Yes, sir.
Believe on the Lord in your heart.
Yes.
Confess with your mouth, and you'll be saved. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Talk back to him right now. Talk back to him every time you come into him. Because when Jesus talked back to him, he said, the devil said, I got to go. The devil left. And then when the Bible says, when Jesus came, it said, the enemy, Satan, the devil left him. Are you trying to get him to leave you alone? Talk back to him. That's why you hang around him, because you won't talk back to him. You're too wise. Come on. No more. No more, devil. No more. No more. No more. Yeah. Well, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Good day to be your life, brother. Good time. You'll say, thank you.
life to Christ before it is everlasting.